WEEI, The Rich Keefe Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Two of the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI. You can join the program at 617-779-7937, or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. Get in on the ground floor of both of those sweet, sweet accounts. Free for you, free for me. The NFL Conference Championship Sunday, I think it's going to be a great one. I mean, you have two great games. Four best teams. I mean, you can make an argument for Buffalo, clearly, but the way they played the last couple of weeks, it's Mahomes, Burrow for the second time in the conference championship game in 2 years, and then you got Jalen Hurts and the great year that he had with Philly against Brock Purdy, of all people, their third-string quarterback to begin the year, and the San Francisco 49ers. I'm excited about the entire thing. I think it's a pretty clear-cut, at least for me, quarterback ranking. Like, we were doing this each round of the playoffs, and I still have Mahomes over Burrow. I guess this is the one area you might have a little bit of pushback. Burrow is, you know, people are obsessed with this guy right now, and I get it. You should be. He's awesome. But I would still take Mahomes over Burrow. Jalen Hurts is clearly three. Brock Purdy's clearly four. But then what I also did, I don't know if anybody's doing this, rank the skill players. How about this? 1 through 10 skill players. This might blow your mind. Hopefully you're sitting down. Out of the four teams, they're loaded, right? And this is one where, you know, as a Patriots fan, you're like, I'd like any one of these guys. Any one of these guys. Guys that aren't even ranked are going to rank higher than guys on that the Patriots have. Now, maybe this is my infatuation and love of wide receivers. I think Ja'Marr Chase is the number one guy. I think he's the best of the receiver, running back, tight end on all of these teams. But this is where you really would have a spirited debate. This is where you'd have people saying, oh, you're a moron, because I have Christian McCaffrey, too. Now that, again, you can make a great case for him being one. I just think Chase is, like, there's no shutting down Ja'Marr Chase. It feels like he's going to get his catches, his yards, his touchdowns. It feels like Burrow's going to look to him on every big play. Or you just have to put so many, you have to put so much attention on him that it allows other guys to get going. So I'd go Chase, McCaffrey, Travis Kelce. And again, Kansas City fans would probably scream at you and say he's the best one. Look at what Patrick Mahomes was able to do this year without Tyreek Hill. A bunch of like decent wide receivers, a handful of like decent running backs, or are they just in the right system? And then Travis Kelce, who I still don't understand how teams don't cover him. Like, he's going to throw it to Kelce. He's going to throw it to Kelce a lot. He's wide open. And then they'll show the replay after, like, you know, 15-yard gain by Kelce in the middle of the field. Then they go back. They show the replay. Nobody's lined up over him. Nobody gets a hand on him. And he's wide open and he makes a play. And you're like, wait, what? So maybe Cincinnati will actually try to cover him a little bit. It would be seem like a novel concept. But I go Kelce 3. A.J. Brown, 4. You saw what he did for that Philadelphia offense. The guy is an absolute machine, all pro. Is like close to 1,500 yards, scores a bunch of touchdowns. He got the GM in Tennessee fired after he went there and torched him because he traded him against Mike Vrabel's wishes. Debo Samuel, 5. That was one of our Would You Rather Wednesday questions, A.J. Brown or Debo Samuel. Again, you can't really go wrong. Debo does a few more things, but I think A.J. Brown is just the better number one receiver, number one, like, outside guy. So I got Debo 5. I'm going to go T. Higgins 6. And again, so that's the second guy from the Bengals, clearly. George Kittle 7. Now, that's a tough one because he's had some games where I didn't really notice him as much. But I just feel like in a game like this, like a conference championship game, I'll take my chances with George Kittle to make some big plays. And then from here, it really is kind of like how you want to pick it. I went Devontae Smith 8. Joe Mixon 9, Miles Sanders 10. So I didn't have Isaiah Pacheco, or however you say his name, with the Chiefs. Their running back who's really turned it on like late in the year. He's played really well. You know, where else would you turn? Like, who else is there? I feel like Kansas City, it shows you how good Mahomes is when he only has one guy on my top 10, where all the other teams have multiple guys. Multiple guys, whether it's receivers, whether it's a back and a receiver, and then obviously the one tight end, or actually like two tight ends, in Kelce and Kittle. So there you go. Add that to the conversation as well. 617-779-7937. Also, NBA trade deadline coming up in less than 2 weeks. That's what Neil in Hyde Park wants to talk about. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
My thoughts on the Celtics were, first I want to respond to that, the Miles Turner trade.
Yeah.
No, that guy. Guy plays when he wants. He's a dog. No. Let's get somebody who wants to play every night. I just, not that the shots don't drop, or do or don't drop every night, but Miles Turner plays when he wants to play. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah, but
that.
Neil, would you argue with some of those guys, and, you know, you may be right, but when they go to a really good team, that changes. I feel like that's happened in every sport where a guy kind of is going through the motions because he's been on sort of a so-so team for a while. Then you put him on an actual title contender, and all of a sudden, like, oh, wow, they found their passion again.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I like depending on the dog, guy like Tony Allen personality more, right. You know, he's a god. But what a guy, you know, that's probably been out there is that, and not that I'm worried about the price, it's not my millions of dollars, but whereas the guy out in, you know, San Antonio might be out of the price range, Jakob.
Pirtle.
Yeah, Pirtle. Maybe go with Miles Plumlee. Good player. He also can't shoot a free throw, but he's actually pretty talented. Golden State, those teams like Bogut, he couldn't shoot a three-pointer. You know, he wasn't shooting three either.
Yeah.
So I think that would Plumlee would be good insurance. But as far as, like, just generally, and I'll let you guys go, I think the Celtics should be operating like a small market team. I know they're not, but we're not the Lakers. I remember a few years ago in the bubble when Hayward went down, as he did, as, you know, he often did. Brad couldn't get a guy to go to the free throw line to receive a pass to beat a Miami zone. They just had nobody. They had nobody there. So I don't think the Celtics should get too cute with it. I think they should, you know, don't let these CPs expire. Like, I believe a guy like Burks should already be on this team.
Well, I'll tell you what, thanks for the call. I feel like they were aggressive this offseason, and unfortunately Danilo Gallinari got hurt, but they added Gallinari and Brogdon without giving up a single piece that was important to them, that played. Like, the guys they got rid of were, like, Romeo Langford and Aaron Nesmith and, like, just scrubs. Like, guys that weren't playing, and they turned that around, and they added big salary. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon makes a lot of money. Gallinari, not as much, but still, those were two big additions. Unfortunately, one went down before he even played in the first game. So, no, they're one of the highest payrolls in the league. They're not up there with the Warriors because, the Warriors are paying, when you factor in the luxury tax and everything else, they're paying like $1 billion for their team. So, you know, they better be in it. Off to a terrible start, but they better be in it. But Celtics are way up there. I don't think that's a problem. And he mentions Jakob Poeltl. He's not making a ton of money. He's making like $9 million. And when you get these guys now, it's going to be, what, half of that for the rest of the year? So he's doable. He seems like the obvious one, right? And sometimes that deal does get done, you know, a deal that's been talked about for a while. Then other times something happens. Maybe San Antonio goes elsewhere. But the Celtics have made deals recently with the Spurs. That one makes a lot of sense. The Spurs, not great. So if they could get some draft picks, I think they would do it for a guy that's in the last year of his deal. I don't mind the Miles Turner thing. Now, he makes, I think, twice as much as Pirtle. So Brad Stevens and the guys with the calculators are going to have to figure that out and crunch a few more numbers to get that deal done. But I think it's possible. But that's my big takeaway from the losing streak is not that it's time to panic or that, this team has these huge glaring issues. But I am on board now with making a move. And I know most of you guys were of the mindset of make a move anyway. But looking at the depth or looking at the team when everybody's available, like, they go 8 or 9 deep. And how many guys are you playing in the playoffs? But now it's like with Time Lord's injuries and every time he lands after an alley-oop, you think he's hurt again. Horford not playing back-to-backs, Smart dealing with something, Brown dealing with something, like even Tatum. I don't think the wrist is 100%. So they have a whole bunch of guys that could use a little bit of help. So I get it. Another interesting point about the AFC or the championship games on Sunday, I saw this stat. So I can't thank the Rich Keefe Show stats and info department. This was one I saw off of the television. This is the second time that all four starting quarterbacks are 27 or younger. So Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, and Purdy are all, in fact, three of them are on their rookie deals. Then you get Mahomes, but they're all 27 or younger. The last time, 1996, when Drew Bledsoe was a part of that. Drew Bledsoe and Mark Brunell were in the AFC championship game, and the NFC championship game was Kerry Collins and Brett Favre. So he had four young gun quarterbacks. I feel like Mark Brunell was never 27. I feel like Mark Brunell like showed up into the league at 37, and that's how he played out. But no, he was at one point he was a young guy.
Well, that's what I was thinking with like Kerry Collins.
That's same with him, right?
Like you saying he was playing in 96 surprises me, and then that like he was a young gun at that point.
Yeah, because I think that must have been his second year. I think wasn't he a part of that 95 draft where it was like, who else did they have? Was he with like Curtis Enos? No, or that might have been like Kajana Carter. Whatever, Penn State and some of those Joe Paterno teams were loaded in the mid-90s with Penn State. But yeah, that was when they had the two expansion teams, like the second year they were in the league, Carolina and Jacksonville was in the conference championship. Now, obviously, they both lost. That set up the Packers and the Patriots Super Bowl. But that was a young Bledsoe, a young Favre, Brunell. And so that's what you're looking at. Like, the old guys just didn't have it this year. You know, Brady's team clearly didn't have it. Aaron Rodgers didn't even make the playoffs. And I guess Stafford's technically probably one of the old guys now. His team stunk. Russell Wilson was terrible. So it has been completely turned over to the young guys. I do wonder, do the old guys have one last stand in them? You know, that's one of the offseason discussions that we've had is, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to stay in Green Bay? Is he going to go to the Jets? And then what kind of boost does that give him? And then with Tom Brady, where's he going to go? If it's the Raiders, like, I don't see him breaking through in the AFC. If it's just with the 49ers, then yeah, you might have a 46-year-old guy playing in the NFC Championship game next year. Yeah, that is certainly possible. But yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting stat with so 96 in 2022, the youngest quarterbacks that are in there. All right, we'll get into the games. I already picked the Eagles. Ben already picked first half over in Cincinnati and Kansas City. But we'll pick both games. We'll look at the over-unders. You know, the things and players to look at in these games and props. Let's go through a bunch of props. It's not as exciting as Super Bowl props. We're not going to have any national anthems or, you know, what color is Rihanna going to be wearing when she first shows up at halftime. We got to save that for 2 weeks. 2 weeks tonight will be the Propapalooza or whatever else. But still, there's going to be a lot of different stuff that you can bet on this weekend. And by the way, Tuesday, we can bet for real in Massachusetts. We're sneaking up. And we still have to think about what our first bet's going to be. Something juicy. Or maybe, or just a teaser. Maybe we sort of start slow with our Tuesday teaser.
Yeah, well, we know it won't be Bruins or Celtics because if we want to bet something that day,
right?
It's going to be a little tough to do that when they play Wednesday.
That's another thing we can do. We can look ahead to the Tuesday slate and pick out a winner there. Again, you can join the program 617-779-7937. Celtics and Bruins both coming off a loss from last night. And you have the conference championship games coming up on Sunday. So your thoughts on all of that, 617-779-7937. It's the Rich Keefe Show. Right now, here is Ben with What's Trending.
It's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Boston Sports Original.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI, taking up until 9 o'clock tonight. Boomer and Valenti will take over at 9 to talk all about this weekend in the NFL. Of course, it's conference championship weekend. You can join the program here, 617-779-7937. Also, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. Very simple, at Rich Keefe Show for both of those sweet, sweet accounts. All right, Ben, we got to go on the record here. We got to pick these games against the spread. We've been doing it each round of the playoffs thus far. And let's start with the first game. That would be the NFC Championship game Sunday at 3 o'clock. You have the Philadelphia Eagles at home laying 2.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. I've already made my pick. It's my bet du jour. It's my weekend special. Philly minus 2.5. Which way are you going?
I am going Eagles. I can't. Mm-hmm. I've been talking down Purdy this whole time. I can't all of a sudden turn on him. I'm going Eagles minus 2.5. One of these times, yeah. Purdy is going to, they're going to take
has
advantage
to.
Of his
interceptions. It has to. I would think. And I just, that Philly pass rush is off the charts. Like, it's just, they're going to be all over him. The next, or the final game, obviously the AFC championship game, the second straight year. And by the way, I think, has this become a rivalry? Has this become like a full-blown rivalry? You wouldn't think Kansas City and Cincinnati are. And yet some of the trash talk this week between the two teams, and we'll get to what one of the mayors of the city also said today, which I think only really fuels the fire. But we might have a nice little rivalry between the Bengals and the Chiefs. And it might honestly just because, like, Brady Manning, right? Like, Colts-Patriots wouldn't and shouldn't be a rivalry. Even when they were in the AFC East, it wasn't really a rivalry. But those quarterbacks sort of turned it into that. So maybe that's what we're going to have here. But this one's interesting. The spread's been moving on this bad boy. And we right now have Chiefs laying 1.5. I think at one point it was just a 1-point favorite. Then the Bengals were a 1-point favorite. And now Kansas City, last I checked. So again, you could shop around. You might find something different. But I got them at home laying 1.5. Which way are you going on this one?
Wait, what'd you say?
Chiefs minus 1.5.
Oh, it's now minus 1.5?
Yeah,
This game keeps going.
Right.
I'm going Bengals. I don't know. I know Mahomes looked good walking around.
that's a good point.
But I don't know. Right now, Burrow's got his number. I'm going Burrow.
Burrow's never
lost. I know it's a away game for Cincinnati, but I think Mahomes isn't going to be 100%, and I think that's a big disadvantage.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with you. I'm going with the Bengals, and they're getting the 1.5, right? So you get the little, you know, what could be or should be a close game. So even if the Chiefs win by a single point, then you get the cover there from Cincinnati. But I think they win it outright. I think we're looking at a Cincinnati-Philadelphia Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has never lost to Patrick Mahomes. Now, it's three games, but still, how many quarterbacks are undefeated against Kansas City and Mahomes? I mean, they've just been a wagon since Mahomes has taken over. They've made the conference championship game all 5 years. Mahomes has been the starter. So I'll take Joe Burrow. And it's crazy how things changed. Like our first show, the Rich Keefe show, is a month old. Happy birthday to us. But the first night we were talking about, it was the night after the DeMar Hamlin game in Cincinnati. And the way things played out there, I had started to think, you know what? Buffalo might be the team that sort of takes this, and especially because we were getting positive updates and DeMar Hamlin's in the locker room, he's at the game and everything else, but they were going to rally around it, and this was going to be Buffalo season, and they might go all the way to win the Super Bowl. But then the way they played against the Patriots and then the way they played against the Dolphins is like, nope. Like, we both called it last week. We're like, nope, that's not happening. Cincinnati's gonna win that game, even though they were like 5.5-point dogs. They go into Buffalo and smoke the Bills. The Bills weren't ready for that game somehow, some way, and Cincinnati moves on. I think actually, in a weird twist, Cincinnati's the team that is gonna take that incident and run with it because they're the ones that felt the most disrespected. They were like, listen, we were doing everything. We were being good human beings. We were, you know, you want to not play the game? Fine. Like, we don't have to play the game. You want to just have us play 16 games? So be it. But then when the NFL came up with all their different convoluted ways to try to make it fair, they were saying, hey, it's a neutral site game. But it was only going to be a neutral site game for Buffalo and for Kansas City in the AFC title game. And then they said, well, if Baltimore beats Cincinnati in the last week of the season, then we're going to flip a coin to see where the Cincinnati-Baltimore game would be played in the wild card round. Cincinnati's like, well, how the hell is that fair? It isn't. And then the divisional round game, there's no coin flip. There's no neutral site. It's just in Buffalo. So Cincinnati, and I think completely well within their rights, are like, hold on. What is happening here? Like, why are we the ones that are getting the short end? You're trying to make everything fair. And for the one team it wasn't fair for, Cincinnati. And you can't help but think that that helped kind of motivate them a little bit. Now, I know they barely got by Baltimore. So maybe they were looking past them a little bit, knowing that you had that huge rematch with Buffalo the following week. But they didn't play great against Baltimore, but good enough to get the win. And then they come out and beat up on the Bills. And now I think they got this momentum, and they're going to beat the Chiefs. I think, again, awesome when both spreads are inside of 3. Like, it's Vegas. It's everybody telling you, we should be in store for 2 really good games. But I mentioned the rivalry getting turned up a little bit. This is always pretty awkward when the like mayors of towns start to get involved and they start betting stuff. Remember around here, they'll be like, well, I'll give you like some New England clam chowder versus some Philly cheesesteaks. And you're like, Like, I don't know if we have to do this. I know it's a big deal. I know a lot of people are interested in it, but do we really have to go down this road? And so today, this is kind of a first. This is, how do you feel about this trash talk? This is from the mayor of Cincinnati hyping up the AFC Championship game between Cincinnati and Kansas City.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test to confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
So you heard that right. The mayor of Cincinnati is suggesting that Joe Burrow take a paternity test to determine whether or not he is Patrick Mahomes' actual father. So, again, you know, that's like a good tweet. That's a good thing you see on Instagram. That's always, you know, people run with that. But for the mayor to go that direction and Burrowhead Stadium, everybody's leaning into this Burrowhead Stadium. Was it Chris Jones or one of the Chiefs even said that too? When I was a walk off in his press conference, he was like, "All right, we'll see you Sunday at Burrowhead." And then who was it? It was one of the safeties or linebackers for the Chiefs was asked, "Hey, what impresses you about the Bengals?" He said, "Nothing." I was like, "Okay." So I think you're getting some good trash talk. I also feel like this might be the second conference championship matchup between Burrow and Mahomes. The second of four, five. Like, how many times are these two guys going to square off? Because don't you feel like Burrow took that extra step where he separated himself a little bit from Josh Allen? I know we started the week talking about, you know, could this be the beginning of a run? Or are we already in the beginning of this run where the same quarterbacks are representing the AFC in the Super Bowl year after year after year? Again, from 2003 to 2018, that's 16 Super Bowls. 15 of those 16 were represented by three guys. Now, Tom Brady, of course, is one of them. That's going to weigh things down a little bit. Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl a lot. But between Brady, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger, 15 of 16 Super Bowls. So as much as we look at it and say, oh, there's a ton of parity in the NFL and teams go from worst to making the playoffs and you know, Super Bowl to missing the playoffs, there's a lot of parity. I don't know. That was the 16-year stretch where you saw the same three guys. And I think we're in that same thing. I think we're absolutely in that same territory. I think Josh Allen's going to be the third guy. I think he's going to be the one that breaks through. He's clearly closer than Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence. And those guys are going to give it a go. Like, those guys are obviously very good and both made the playoffs this year. But it seems like Mahomes and Burrow are on that next level. And then where the questions start to come is, all right, how do you keep this going? How do you keep this run possible? Because you're going to lose guys in free agency. You're going to lose coaches. Like, the Buffalo Bills this year didn't have Brian Daboll as their offensive coordinator. And I think you saw that. Like, Josh Allen was turning it over everywhere. Very loose with the football. And I think Brian Daboll had a factor in that. But Patriots dealt with that. Right? That's, again, what's so impressive about the Patriots is every year you had people coming after their coordinators. Now, they didn't lose them every single year, but they're still going after them, taking them away. Some of their players or whatever going to sign for big money elsewhere. And you just got to withstand that. Plus, you're not picking at the top of the draft. You're far from the top of the draft. So how do you keep reloading? But Kansas City, it's not like this is their second appearance in the conference championship game. It's five straight. And as the texter points out, it's five straight at home. Like, they're not messing around. And then Cincinnati, I wonder, with that organization and that track record, I am curious how they're going to be able to keep it together. Like, maybe Burrow's just so damn good, it won't matter. But can you trade T. Higgins potentially? And that's the guy obviously I want for the Patriots. Like, a lot of you want him as well. And if they can't pay him, would they flip him and get a pick or whatever? But if you start pulling a few guys off the roster, are you still as good and are you going to be there? But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here next year at this time talking about Chiefs-Bengals or maybe Chiefs-Bills or Bengals-Bills, but, like, some combination of those teams in the year after that. And in 7 years, Ben, when you and I are still sitting right here breaking it down, Mahomes-Burrow again. Like, I don't think it's that crazy to predict that right now.
No, you're going to get – every once in a while you'll get one of them without the other, but
– right.
But, like, injuries or, like kind of, like, freak accident, like, injury, like, for other, like, players, like, I don't know. Yeah, like I'm seeing it being, yeah, like you said, Brady Manning, that type of thing where, okay, maybe they meet in the divisional round because they...
Right, I see
they,
like one team gets real hot in a bad division or something like that, and, yeah, they have to play each other a little bit early, but you go into every year kind of penciling these guys in for the conference championship, and then it's like, what happened for it not to be there? Like, who did Phillip Rivers upset Peyton Manning that year like he did a couple of times? Or... was it, you know, the random year where Tom Brady gets, you know, knocked off by somebody before he can even make it to the conference championship, which was also rare. What do you make, like eight in a row or something silly? So, yeah, I think we're looking at that. Meanwhile, in the NFC, that one seems much more fluid. Like, the stat on the NFC East specifically is, it's like the last 10 years there's been a different division champ. Don't quote me on the years, but it's been a long time since you've had back-to-back NFC East champs. So everyone thinking like, oh, maybe Philly is about to start a run. It's like, maybe, or Dallas wins the division next year, or Daboll gets a real quarterback in there, or whatever, it adds to it, and the Giants win.
Yeah, I was going to say, that division is actually going to be interesting because, yeah, if Daboll, like, what he did with Daniel Jones, like, we're going to, I think both admit, not top five quarterback.
No, he is not.
And then also, then you have to think, what happens if... the Commanders get sold. Like Snyder, different owner comes in there.
Right,
you think
exactly.
Someone's spending money and maybe people actually want to go play there. Like someone who isn't in maniac.
That's what they need. Yeah, right. They need somebody that goes in there that wants to win. And who knows? Like with some of these new owners, like you see it in baseball with the Mets. New owner comes in and is like, and I know there's no salary cap in that, but still wants to make a big splash right away. You saw it when Ballmer came into the Clippers, wanted to make a big splash right away. So, yeah, if the Commanders get a guy. Now, if it's John Henry, maybe not. Maybe John Henry's like, ah, we're good. We just want to make sure we, you know, play in one playoff game or
something.
We just
want the NFL money to keep rolling in.
Yeah, which it will. But, yeah, it seems like there's more turnover, and that's why I thought if Rodgers and Brady want to make another Super Bowl, stay in the NFC because it doesn't seem like anybody's really blocking you. Because even the Niners, who have this great roster, you don't even know who their quarterback's going to be next year. Is it Trey Lance? Is it Brock Purdy? Is it Tom Brady? Like, who the hell even knows who the Niners quarterback is? Whereas the teams in the AFC, you know exactly who their quarterback is, and that's why you're picking them to be in there year in and year out.
And the crazy thing is, Mahomes just signed that crazy big deal.
Yep.
You're like, oh, no, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Oh, no. Still gets
turned out doesn't matter, which is nuts. But at some point, I mean, how long can Travis Kelce be this good? Like, I don't understand it, because he came into the league late. Like, he was not a 22-year-old rookie. And how old is he now? He's 33. I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady's 45, so maybe Travis Kelce can play forever. But, yeah, his rookie year, well, he didn't even play in 13. And then in 14, he was like a 25-year-old rookie, essentially. But the guy's been sick. I mean, how many 1,000-yard consecutive seasons? How many All-Pros, Pro Bowls? He's nasty. But doesn't look like there's any sign of slowing down. So maybe they will be good for a few more years, at least with him. I think with Mahomes, he'll be fine no matter what. But he's going to need that true number one guy that he can throw to. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island on the Patriots offseason. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
So, yeah, I know I see this as being one of the most important offseasons that we've had in quite some time. Like you just mentioned, obviously, these two young guys playing this weekend. You got Jacksonville. You know, Buffalo is still going to be there. I also think the Jets, you know, will probably find a quarterback, which is going to make the AFC East even tougher. So, you know, just my point is I'm hoping Mac Jones and O'Brien can kind of insulate themselves and really, you know, work well together based on, like, the stuff that came out this week, which is exactly what I thought Joe Judge would do in that seat, considering, you know, he was running around there in 19 trying to coach receivers. You know, Julian Edelman told him he didn't know what the hell he was doing back then. And then now, you know, it's just it just really makes me question Bill Belichick. And I think, he's obviously won us all these titles. But this coming year, I think if it's still a disconnect, I think you got to part ways with him.
All right. Wow. All right, Matt. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, the Joe Judge part of it really wasn't all that surprising.
Well, maybe I can explain that a little bit better, but instead of saying, who am I? By telling you what's relevant in this conversation with being a coach of the New York Giants, what I'm about.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Joe Judge. That was brutal. I mean, that was an absolute mess. And that's the other part of it, too, with Mac Jones. When you're talking about best quarterbacks in the AFC, some of these guys are already solidified. They're MVPs, Super Bowl winners, Super Bowl or AFC winners, or regardless. Mac Jones, let's say he is with the Patriots for the next 5, 6, 7 years. At best, where could he rank in the conference? At best, 6th, right? Because he's not going to be better, and this isn't even an insult. This is actually being very, very positive about Mac Jones. He's not going to be better than Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Lawrence. Those are 5 guys, roll out of bed, they're better. Now, they might not get as good of coaching. Like, look at Herbert right now. Herbert actually, he's just physically, he's a better quarterback. But depending on Staley, get Staley for one more year, then they could replace him with somebody even worse. Like, who knows? So I'm not saying all those teams every year are going to have a better record. I'm just saying those are 5 quarterbacks who are better. We don't know what Lamar Jackson's doing. He might stay in the conference. He might not. And it's funny, a texter points out, so that 15 of 16 Super Bowls, right, there was 3 quarterbacks that went to 15 of 16 from the AFC from 03 to 18 and then from the 2007. So does that make Mac Jones the next Joe Flacco? Well, that'd be the hope, right? Joe Flacco was the one guy that interrupted that, and he went on a crazy run. Nobody would have predicted that. Flacco went on this, like Frank the Tank in old school, where he blacks out during the debate, and he doesn't remember what he did, but he smoked it. And he beat Peyton Manning, he beat Tom Brady, and he went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's hope, but that's what you're talking about. Those are the kind of odds that I think you're stacked up with. Maybe everything kind of goes perfect. That's what you would need. The defense would need to be loaded, running game's good. He would also have to play well, right? Like, nobody's winning a Super Bowl with a quarterback playing poorly. I think the last one was Peyton Manning with the Broncos because that defense was sick. So that's the kind of thing that you would need, I think. Rob in Maine wants to talk about the Cincinnati mayor. What do you got, Rob?
Okay, this guy?
Yeah.
First of all, place all your money on Kansas City because a dork of this magnitude is never going to win or have anything go his way.
Yeah, that was hard to hear. As somebody who's picking Cincinnati, I picked Cincinnati before I heard that, and I probably should change.
You know what it is? He's the guy at the craps table. You walk up to the craps table, you want to play craps, but the guy with the dice, you know he can't win. You look at him and you say, this guy's never won in his whole life,
yeah,
and he's going to lose, and you bet the don't, because this guy's a train wreck.
Yeah, I know. You're right, Rob. That is the only thing that made me really consider changing my pick. It was just hard to hear. It was not ideal from the Cincinnati mayor, who, again, if you missed it, is asking Joe Burrow to take a paternity test to determine whether or not he is Patrick Mahomes' father. I mean, he's like, so clearly he has some sort of like speech writer who's now trying to work his like comedy chops a little bit. He's like, here you go. Here's a tight 2 minutes.
Got gold here. Check this out.
He also, he had a couple other lines in there that were just such eye rolls. We're like, all right, whatever. Here's what they are. All right, when we come back, it is time for our week in review. This is the end of the 4th week of the Rich Keefe Show. So we've made it a month. A lot of shows don't make it a month. And that is what we are going to do. And so a lot has happened this week. We will recap it all with the week in review coming up next here on the Rich Keefe Show.
As they got to play us day in.
It's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI. Time now for our week in review. It's already been 4 weeks of the Rich Keefe Show. Man, where does the time go? You can follow the program on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. Appreciate you doing that. Very, very kind. My early nominee for soundbite of the year. It's early. We understand that it's early. We're 1 month into 2023, but this is one of my favorites. This is a Washington, D.C. news anchor attempting to do a little hockey news, a little hockey report. Only a few names, including a team name, to discuss, and it didn't go great.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. The team announced the change Sunday, less than a week after president of hockey operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Amazing. Amazing. Got both coaches' names wrong and the team. You could almost accept slash anticipate the names of the coaches, although somebody maybe should give her a heads up prior to the actual report. And if you're in D.C., is it the most important news item to even put across? Like, we got to get the Vancouver Canucks coaching change in there.
No, I don't get why that would even be on the news.
Somebody was maybe setting her up. Maybe somebody's like, you know what? I'm sick of this.
Now watch this.
I'm sick of this. We'll put this one in there.
To fix the Canucks.
I don't know if there's any fixing the Canucks. I don't know if you can do it. Fitzy was in this week on Monday, and he told a tale about seeing a certain film in a foreign country, and they do things a little bit differently there.
In 2005, I was visiting my brother in Turkey. He was teaching English as a second language.
All right.
So I was in Turkey, and we went to go see the movie I had been dying to see for a year's time straight. Batman Begins.
Ooh.
And I saw it in the city of Istanbul, Turkey. It's not Istanbul, Izmir.
Yeah. So that's where Bald Bull's from, I believe.
So we go to see it, this lovely coastal town in Turkey, and it's in English, but they have Turkish subtitles.
All right.
Halfway through the movie, he has just like told someone like, I'm Batman, or like, I'm Vengeance.
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, a sign pops up on the screen, and it says like in Turkish, intermission, and then there's English subtitles underneath, intermission. It's so that people can go outside and rip darts.
Oh, there you go.
They take a smoke break in Turkey.
Smoke break. That's not bad. Like, I was like, just guys like itching, just waiting to get up. He's like, when's this intermission
going?
This thing's
taking
forever.
Got a cup of tea and ripped two darts and then went back into this theater. Smelled like a bar in 1997 when I went back inside.
Those people had a nice time. They enjoyed themselves. I don't mind this intermission idea, especially as somebody who goes to a lot of these comic book movies, which they seem to be making longer and longer because people will sit through 2.5-3 hour movie when they're these comic book movies. And if I'm bringing in, like, I like to bring in, you sneak in a couple of nips and then you get yourself like a medium soda. That's all you need. You don't need the big one, but you get a medium soda. You don't fill it up. They have the self fill. So you fill it like halfway, you fire in a few of those nips. That's still a lot to drink. It's a lot of liquid. And about halfway through the movie, you're like, oh boy. And then you're sitting there in like a little bit of pain for the last like half hour of the movie. So I don't mind this intermission thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. Like, yeah, if the movie's over like 2 hours and 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Give me like a 5 minute intermission.
That's
like,
it.
Come on, you go to Broadway or the plays and stuff. Intermission.
Intermission. And then also think about the concessions would go up because I finished my Twizzlers during the previews, so I didn't even have it for the movie. Now I'm like, I got an intermission. I'm going to run out there, get some more candy, get another, you know, refill of the soda.
Say, yeah, fill up the soda. You've already gone to the bathroom at this point.
It's actually
refill?
A great idea. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Now, Tier Tuesday comes your way, believe it or not, Tuesdays. And Andy Hart joins us then. And this has become maybe the best segment in the history of radio. And here's a portion of our Tier Tuesday from this week. I would say
Moby Dicks.
Moby Dicks. Hmm. So let me set this up a little bit better than that. So if you are unfamiliar with Tier Tuesday, we take a topic. This week's topic was AFC teams over the next 5 years. And then from there, we like to come up with the tiers on the fly. So this isn't the basic, here's what the tiers are, where do the teams go. Really, the real challenge is not where the teams go, it's naming the tiers. And so Andy Hart wants to go kind of literary here. Now, again, I am familiar, but I am going to need you to explain a little bit.
They're chasing the elusive thing that they can't get, the white whale. They need a ring to validate. They're great.
Yeah.
Ahab was a great captain.
Do you think they win one in the next 5 years? Because that's what we're doing here. So, need to win one.
Yeah.
It's a little wordy, but
I like Moby Dicks.
Moby Dicks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
chasing
they
the
be
one.
Ahab then?
Okay, Ahabs.
Ooh, we got an
but
English
I was going
major
with the
here.
Book title.
Look out.
No, I get that, but wouldn't they be the ones chasing the whale? So, They're Ahab chasing Moby Dick, which is a Super Bowl.
I know, I was going with the book title.
Brendan Fraser
nominated. Plus, I just wanted to say Moby Dicks.
Yeah, this is all it comes down to. He just likes.
Did you know it had an alternate title, Ben? I believe called The Whale, because some bookstores weren't comfortable with the word
Moby.
Now I don't know if I can say it. The title being Moby Dick.
Brendan Fraser nominated for Best Actor in the movie The Whale, which came out, where he plays a 600-pound man.
Okay.
So, but isn't everybody chasing the elusive champion? Not everybody, but not really. Most teams?
No.
But so you're saying the Moby
they
Dicks
are right there. They're on the cusp of it.
Yeah.
But they will not be validated until they get the trophy.
All right.
Just like Ahab. And he ended up dying trying to get it.
So are we
him down.
Are we calling it Ahab or calling it Moby Dicks?
I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to go through the Twitter and Instagram to find out what we landed on. And it's also a good time to remind you that if you missed Tier Tuesday and then you happen to see the graphic on Twitter or Instagram, you can always go back to the podcast and figure out how we got there, how we landed the plane. So the podcast, Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, we break down the show in hour increments so you can go back and listen. So again, we do that Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour. It's a can't miss. Kiefer Madness this week involved, you guessed it, turkey attacks.
This turkey attacks me every single day, follows me, goes up my stairs and tries to get in my house.
Oh my God.
When I leave in the car, follows me in my car. It gets on the back of my husband's truck and follows me. It rode to Chipotle with me one time, but I have to carry my broom and my water bottle and my golf club with me everywhere I go. She's lonely and I feel bad, but why can't they just relocate this bird, please?
Just a wild story where there's one turkey on this street and everybody's afraid of it and they aren't doing anything about it. By the way, did you see the video today of a moose getting absolutely smoked by a car and then getting up and walking it off like it didn't happen?
No, I did not.
He got, like,
I just imagined the car. The car got destroyed.
The car was able to keep going. It was the weirdest thing ever. I can't believe the car was able to. It didn't, like, smash the. Although I'm sure it's dented. But the angle is you're behind the car to, like, to the right, and it goes just flying down this road. And the, like, moose are just a wild creature. And so they take out the legs, thing flips over on its back, and you're like, oh, no. And then he just gets up, shakes it off, and walks into the woods. Like,
nothing. Oh, that's nothing.
Nah, he got smoked. Gotta
come harder than that.
Didn't care. Yeah, didn't care at all. And lastly, I present to you, again, this is early, I understand that, but probably the call of the year. This is Paul from Rhode Island.
Rich and Fitzy, thank you for taking my call. First time call.
Yep.
I don't understand why the NFL will let a team play in white. Well, this snowstorm was going on. Forget about that.
Okay.
It was like a decoy. Just about.
Oh,
I know that Josh Allen made his own bed, but
yeah.
Besides that,
you think he wouldn't have? You think he would have been better had the Bengals not been wearing white?
Yes, I think so in a way. But what I don't understand is this:
okay.
Why? Like, I played football a little bit.
Sure.
It's hard to catch a ball when you're throwing a ball 50 yards down the line in the snow.
Of course.
And I didn't see Joe Burrow do that. 8 yards, 10 yards, these little skips and dips. And I couldn't figure that out until I realized that this guy is the real deal.
That's right.
And he went into somebody that plays in that type of nature, and Mother Nature put a almost like paralyzed them for canceling that game. But I hope that doesn't happen because Josh Allen is a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you can never pass this thing. The other thing I wanted to say is this.
Uh-huh.
We are locked in into this. We are locked in that for 20 years we dominated that division.
Sure did.
But yet not no more.
No.
But now we got Brady going to the Patriots.
Huh?
And Brady going to the Patriots and
he's coming back to the Patriots?
That might not happen. No, if O'Brien has his say, O'Brien has his say, that ain't going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen because, you know, I know he doesn't want to go to San Fran because, you know what?
Why?
That's away from his kids. But, you know, kids don't pay the bills. You pay the bills.
Fair.
But I'm going to say this. The only team that I can see Brady going to would be like the the Jets or the yeah, but
Giants,
the biggest, the Giants, yes,
yeah,
Giants.
So there's two, but Titans,
yes, because
there's
of Vrabel, yes,
Vrabel there,
yes,
Dolphins,
no way,
no way on no Dolphins, way.
No, because he, remember the they said you remember they said they he had a thing going to LA Ram remember he said he was going to
Rams?
Him and Gronk and that WWE guy was setting that up.
No, you're talking about the Raiders. The UFC.
Yes. Yeah, LA Raiders, yes.
Raiders.
But yes. But here's the deal. Right. The deal is mm-hmm. Brady, just take the money in Fox.
Who are you playing? Are you role playing now?
Fox.
Oh, you're
just
telling Brady to go to
TV
Fox.
Deal.
Got it.
Yeah. Just take the money in Fox. We don't want to go against you.
No.
You gave us more than we gave you. Just take the money and go to Fox, baby. Okay?
All right
that's
baby.
The end of it.
I love it, Paul.
Thank you.
Call anytime, my man. So let the record show. We are a very caller-friendly program here on the Rich Keefe Show. There was a lot of different ways that could have gone and went, for that matter. So there you go. There is the week in review. 2 hours down. Only 1 hour to go on an abbreviated edition of the Rich Keefe Show. Ryan Davey of the Hashtag Dork Podcast will join us coming up in the next hour. Once again, this is the Rich Keefe Show. Hi.
She's lonely, and I feel bad, but why can't they just relocate this bird, please? But I have to carry my broom and my water bottle and my golf club with me everywhere I go. It rode to Chipotle with me one time.
The lone wild turkey has drawn blood, pecked at tires, and chased cars.
To fix the Canucks,